Gisem Atesh Venos, welcome to Bendix and Airways.
Thank you.
Could you tell us a bit about yourself and what you do?
Okay, my name is Gizem Ateş Venos. I'm an assistant professor at Western Norway University of Applied Sciences. My research field in robotics and human-robot interaction mostly. That's basically who I am.
I see. And where do you work?
I work in Førde. Or Campus Førde at Western Norway University of Applied Sciences, which is a little Norwegian town, a bit cute on the west coast of Norway.
You used to work more in electronics and communication engineering, and then you transitioned to robotics and computer science. Can you tell us about that journey?
Okay, so I started university as a communication electronics and communication engineering without knowing what robotics is, or in general, I had no idea what I'm gonna be in the end, but I was interested in engineering. So I started, and there we had more, if I speak a little bit technical, we have more signals and systems, electromagnetic theory, and signal processing in terms of speech or image processing, etc. So there was not much robotics back then, but I was into a student group that's like a student gathering. And as a hobby, we were doing some robotics related things like attending robotics competitions, organizing our own robotics competitions, etc. So the robotics thingy started as a hobby for me. And then when I wanted to continue academically instead of going to industry, I started my master's in mechanical engineering. There, it's like the second leg of robotics per se, where you design mechanisms and deal with motion generation or force and torque generation, etc. So there I get into robotics a little bit in my master's in mechanical engineering. And there I was involved with a project, which is about surgical robotics. There we develop a kind of system that the surgeon could control an endoscope holder robot. And this is controlled with a tiny ring that he could wear on his finger. So there I realized that, wow, that's actually quite a cool field. And I was lucky enough to get a PhD position here in Norway, which was also about human-robot interaction. But it was in computer robotics. That was my journey, basically, starting from electronics to mechanical to computer science, kind of.
I've seen the commercial on TV the last few years where there's a heart surgeon performing surgery over 5G at his cabin. Does that happen or and if not, will that be possible?
Well, actually, I haven't seen my own eyes happening, but it is like the research papers. If you see, there are lots of research, especially about Da Vinci robot, which is an Italian gen produced robot, a surgical robot that you can teleoperate some robot arms with little joysticks. It has even speech command and everything. So they are using actively to that robot. I'm a little bit unsure about the 5G because then you have the time latency and everything. Probably they do. It is possible.
Impressive. So, do you think robots will take over the world soon?
No, I don't, not before AI.
Because your research focuses extensively on human-robot cooperation.
Yes.
Why did you get into that, and what do you hope to achieve?
Well, it was a bit coincidental actually, because I get into robotics field and the project that I was working or I was involved in was a human robot collaborative project. So there I was in a group that we were developing a robot that could work along with a human. So when I was into that project and afterwards started my PhD, I realized that actually there's more opportunity in human-robot interaction rather than pure robotics. Because if you, for example, think about if you don't have an industrial perspective, let's say, if you don't have a company that has like thousands of employees that they're working on the, like, I have to say, for example, if you have a mass production, right? And in this mass production, you are producing the same product, thousands, millions of them, then it's very advantageous to have a fully automated system. But we don't have that many of those companies. We have more of the small and mid-sized companies that are producing some different products, and they need to tweak around the products in the process. So their fully automated systems are not very beneficial for them. But if we include the robotic solutions as a helper hand to the humans, then we could have more efficient and maybe financially more smart solutions for the industrial perspective. Or if you think about that, for example, the population is getting old and old. We would need more support for elderly people, and their robotics or human robot interaction, rather than like automated solutions, a robot as a helping hand to a human is important. So those things actually made me think, just observing the society. Okay, human robot interaction is the future than the pure robotics that they are doing stuff themselves.
So, which fields are especially progressive, using this cooperation?
Well, I think I'm a bit biased with what I am mostly working on. So, industrial perspective of human robot cooperation, medical perspective of it in terms of like surgical robotics, as we discussed, or rehabilitation robots, which is quite a big field in robotics. There are some, for example, in education field, not for maybe regular people per se, but the for example, for the kids with autism or Down syndrome, which has some issues in learning, a bit robotics help that they could understand, a bit patient to them and everything. It is also used a lot. I think those are the things in the future that we will see more in daily cases.
You mentioned AI. What role does AI play here in your research?
The AI thing, I am not an expert. I haven't done anything in the research based robotics and AI before. But I have a interest, like every engineering these days, per se, after especially with the ChatGPT. But in robotics, actually, we don't see AI much. We see some machine learning algorithms. We can think of it as a maybe as a subfield of AI. Not a very good definition, but we use the machine learning terminology more in research than AI. AI is a bit more popular science term per se. Yeah, we use them for several things, let's say tuning our robot motions and making the motions a bit better and everything. But most of the things are still hard coded, which means that robotics is still lagging behind AI. We can, like, a normal people. A normal person can use ChatGPT now just by sitting at home and just they are curious about something and put it. But we don't have such a solution in robotics yet because there is a paradox about.
What does hard coded mean?
So, for example, if a robot arm is going to pick one object from place A and then pick it from point A to place it point B. And you say that the coordinates of the object is there, and then you're going to place it the coordinates of B. This is hard coded. You give all the numbers to the robot. But for the AI, you say that, okay, there is a blue object. Find that object. You don't know the position, and then place it to somewhere that is marked with a circle.
Okay.
So it has to figure out those positions itself. This
I
is.
see.
Yeah, this is where we are interacting with more machine learning or AI-related research in robotics.
Even though you're not an expert on AI, you obviously have some knowledge. What is the difference between artificial intelligence and general artificial intelligence?
That actually I am not sure. Could it be generative artificial intelligence that is like producing the results that has never seen, maybe? But I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it has something to do with that they're actually conscious and may able to learn themselves and make decisions,
But
something
this
like that.
consciousness is quite a philosophical term, right?
Yeah, sure is. Your publications often involve gamified training systems for human robot interaction. How do you design these systems?
Well, this gamification thingy came to my life last 2 3 years because there's a concept called serious games. So this is a very big field, and you can see lots of examples of it in military education or firefighters education. Any type of simulators have some sort of gamification or gamified objects or game elements in the system, etc.
Yeah.
But when I was doing this during my PhD, I developed a collaborative system that is controlled by human motions. And I needed to verify it is useful or not. There I realized while I was doing research, this serious games and gamification is not into robotics field that much. There are some examples, but surprisingly good field, such a good match, but not much examples found. Therefore, for the evaluation purpose of my system, I started developing the training system such that it is gamified. So instead of giving the people who are trying the system, okay, this is the thing that you need to do for a completely new environment, I gave it a bit more gamified. So their learning skills is linked to their game score. So even though the system is completely new, it is still a familiar concept, which is game, then they would like to increase their game score. So how well they collaborate with the robot, I linked it to the game score, and they just try to get the best score in the game while they were learning how to cooperate with the robot per se.
And you spoke about your PhD that you just or when did you finish?
Yeah, I was in November, late November.
And what were the key findings and the most or the best insights from your study?
Well, there are actually a few because there was quite a focus in my study that we wanted to develop such a system that human and robot collaborates, but without using cameras, but using human motions.
Okay.
And the motivation behind that, if we want to implement such a system in industrial setting, let's say in a production line, if there is a camera tracking human motions, and if there is an object between the camera and the human, then the camera cannot track the objects of the human anymore. Even though camera systems are quite precise, it has a bit safety concern in that sense. Or it
Yeah.
can be dusty environment or etc. So if we want to highlight the safety for the motion tracking, maybe we should use other systems. And there I used inertial measurement units. It is quite common sensor types. We have it in our phones, for example. Let's say when you are using Google Maps, that is even also used in the background.
Yeah.
So those sensors, if we use several of them and attach different parts of the body, we can actually extract the human motions without even using the camera. So we can track human motions, even the sensor station is one room and the human is another room. And that was one finding that it was possible from my PhD. I show that it was possible to collaborate using those sensors instead of camera in a safe and efficient way. And the second thing is that this human robot collaborative scenario, I focused on collaborative lifting, which means that human and robot carry an object in different place per se. Well, who can do that? Like the robot experts or the engineers or the programmers or the young people only, but not old people. So that was another one. Really cooperate with robots, or do they need some sort of skills that some only can do? And in my findings, that I found that everyone can with a minimal training, with an efficient minimal training. There, the gamified training come to the subject. If we have an efficient and very little training, then everyone has some sort of understanding of how human-robot cooperation actually works.
Interesting. You spoke about military earlier, and that made me think of how long have we come in replacing lost limbs like arms, legs, and having a robotic arm or a robotic leg?
Actually, it is happening. We see some people using a robotic arm, but there are different challenges. This is still an active research. You need to have a smooth motion, first of all. It has to be an intuitive motion, which means that even the human is not thinking every single motion that they are doing with their own body limbs, but robots should understand and behave accordingly. So there are lots of aspects of it. We see some examples, but not perfect. There was actually a very good paper about it. The one lady who tried lots of prosthetic arms, robotic prosthetic arms, and she was talking about that they are useful. It's better than not having arm, but they are challenging to use. So, yeah.
Is the research, I'm an amateur, of course, so don't mind the stupid questions.
No.
Are there research trying to connect the nerves in the limb with the robotic arm or leg?
Yes, there are. It is more in the sensor technologies because our nerves are working based on electric signals. If we
Yeah.
can amplify it, like, I don't know how to even explain because I'm not an expert there too, but if you have an enough ignition on the robotic part from the body part, human body part, because of the nerves, then you manage to ignite some of the motions. But the human nerves are so complex system, so simple motions are achieved and it is doable, but complex motions or grabbing an object or writing something, I'm not sure if it has been done with this way.
See, and how is the development in the material, the tissue in the robotic, the robotic material to make it as flexible as I'm guessing is very hard to replicate the human body. But what kind of development is it in the material itself?
Well, that is again another. That is the beauty of robotics, right? There are lots of different fields that help robotics, and robotics have different type of fields, and there is an expertise on every sub field per
Yeah.
se. So, for the materialistic perspective, I don't know what materials available today, but there is a field called soft robotics. And we use, or we have research going on in our research group about soft robotics. We have a robot arm, and that is not like a rigid robot arm, but it has some tendons, therefore it has some soft capabilities. And the construction of, or the structure of that robot arm is very similar to human arm, like the shoulder movement and elbow movement and wrist movement. It is quite similar, even though the bare eye, it doesn't look like it. It is motion-wise. But there, the challenge is that since you have soft material in soft robotics, it is a bit hard to control or repeat the same motion because the material get distorted. And then even though you give the same signal, you will not get the same result. Therefore, control of a soft arm is way more challenging than controlling a rigid arm.
I can imagine. Which companies, I've heard of Boston Dynamics, obviously, but which companies are leading the field in robotics? I've seen the yellow dog of Boston Dynamics close up.
They are actually, I really like Boston Dynamics because it is, they are bringing the advancements in robotics to everyone who would inspire and maybe follow a robotics journey in the future. I don't know. But for the robotics companies, if we say like world leading, maybe we can then think about the robot arm producers. For example, Universal Robots from Denmark, their robots are used in both in research level and for in the industrial purposes for pick and place and packaging and palletizing and different thing. I think they are, I don't, if I'm not wrong, they are the world leading in this collaborative robot industry. And there is KUKA, the German robot company. They are producing very sturdy, both industrial and collaborative robot arms. And there are, for example, Franca Emeka is another German, Italian. I think they are German robot producers. So I think those are quite world leading in collaborative robot arms, at least currently.
If you try to look ahead, what kind of breakthroughs do you anticipate in the near future and also in the long future?
I don't know. I'm quite curious slash excited slash nervous about artificial intelligence and robotics combination. Not more than what artificial intelligence would go in the future, but still there's a curiosity and anxiety over there. I don't know how it's gonna be, but it will make our work way easier, which is like meeting robots and daily person, whatever they need. So I'm looking forward to that. And also space robotics, because in the space, whatever we calculate here doesn't really work there. So if we can enhance our knowledge and results in space robotics, then we would have a bit more exploration there too, because we need to go to the space. Now, those are probably two things.
And you are a lecturer as well. Can you tell us about that? How is that? What kind of challenges do you meet, and what's exciting about lecturing undergrads?
I can start with the excitement part because every time I teach even the same subject after so many years, 4 or 5 years, I learn something new. When you try to prepare your lecture notes for the next week, you want to present in a nicer way. You still try searching some different things and you want to make it relatable for the current advancements. That's why I think this is the most exciting part about teaching. And the challenges, I mean, teaching is fun and you see people are excited about learning something new sometimes, hopefully. Always, but it's not always. Sometimes they find it challenging and motivational issues. But I think the biggest challenge is that when you have to teach, but you want to do research. So making a good balance between research time and teaching time, I think the biggest challenge.
Would you support the statement that teaching something makes you understand it better?
Absolutely, yes.
Are there any memorable experiences, particular experiences in your journey doing this, working in this field?
Maybe one experience or one evening that I was working on. Okay, I mentioned to you that I was working on a surgical robotics when I was doing my master's, and we set a date for a demonstration that there were some surgeons gonna visit our facility and we were gonna show the demo. And of course, when you have a demo, this is like the Murphy's rule, your system would not work.
Of
And it
course.
didn't fail us, it didn't work. And we spent quite a few days, if not weeks, on solving it. We just couldn't, the robots, everything was working, but the robot was not moving the way how it is supposed to move. We checked the hardware, we checked the software, it's just like there was something wrong. And it turned out that very simply, if I try to explain it, in one equation that we wrote in the code, we used the axis wrong. So I can't remember exactly, but instead of using x-axis, we used y-axis in the equation or something like that. Such a tiny parameter failure made us spend days, again, if not weeks. So that's the part about linearity of research. You don't know when you will be done. You can estimate how long this would take, but there are some unforeseen problems that by action it takes you 10 seconds, but to find it, identify and solve it maybe takes days. And yeah, probably that evening was something that I would never forget when we find out why is this X here, kind of.
Yeah, something always goes wrong.
Yeah.
And what about people wanting to join the field? What advice would you give?
Just do it, because even though I think, at least again, my opinion is quite biased with my own life here, but even if those people are not sure if they really like it or not yet, I think robotics is such a versatile field. As I mentioned, like I started as an electronic engineer and then jumped to mechanical engineer for the design perspective of robots, and then software engineering in the more software part of the robots. You gain so much knowledge that you can always, whenever you're bored, I think this is quite a luxury, you can always follow something else later on, but still be a good roboticist. And you are self-sufficient, like you are not an expert on something that relies on some other people's work. I think this is, like, again, quite a biased opinion, but more like a joker card in 52 decks or in engineering. You can do several things. You get so much knowledge. Of course, there is a bottleneck when you are not an expert on anything very niche, but you get the knowledge of learning pretty much everything because you get skills in everywhere. So just do it. If you don't like it, there's going to be always an option which is going to be good anyways, I think.
Nice advice. Do you have robots at your home?
Robot vacuum cleaner, if
Yeah, that's true.
that counts.
And finally, what about your future plans or goals in terms of research, teaching, or anything else in your professional life?
Well, currently I have the permanent position at the university that I'm working in, or working at, and this. I really like the place where we are in terms of research and teaching. So I would like to continue with that. Of course, I have some dreams slash envisions about my future in 1 year, in 5 years, and in 10 years. But I don't know. I hope I will reach them at some point with my atomic habits today, but we will see.
Okay, I just have one last question. I
Yes.
ask everyone this: what is the meaning of life?
Oh, what is the meaning of life? Does it have just one meaning? Like when you consider, I think the meaning of life is joy, and the joy differs to everyone. For example, for me, I really like learning something, not necessarily about my research, but like I now start learning knitting. I start learning playing violin again. So learning makes happy. But for some people, maybe adventure, whatever gives you joy, I think that is the meaning of life. And this joy is very personal definition.
Thank you for an interesting conversation.
Thank you.
Tusen takk for at du hørte på Bendixen Airways. Dersom du har tips, kommentarer eller vil gi en vurdering av episoden, så gjør gjerne det. Det setter jeg stor pris på.